J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, December 6th, 2021, 337 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? It's JC. Look at these gas prices. Look at these gas prices. I started this thing by posting last night that I had gotten gas for $2.90. This is regular. $2.99 at Costco, and then everybody started checking in from all over the place down on Tesson Ferry. There's one gas station, $2.63, Mid Rivers Mall, $2.87. You know, you just blinked, and it was $3.21, $3.23, $3.29 in some cases across the Metro East. And you go out to California, and you can add another dollar and a half a gallon out there, but at least across the Midwest, this is what we are dealing with right now. You knew this was going to happen. The family that commits felonies together stays together. The Crumblies are all together again for Christmas. Unfortunately, they're in jail awaiting arraignment on whatever this Ralph, Malph, and Potsy level escape plan that they had. You know, there's a bridge that goes from Detroit right into Canada. You can be there in 4 or 5 minutes. And when the crumbly mom and daddy didn't show up for their arraignment on Friday, the lawyer's like, oh, no, they're coming, they're coming. They're hiding out in a warehouse somewhere with $4,000 that they pulled out of the bank and trying to figure out how to get across that bridge into Canada. If they had just played by the rules, they would have had an arraignment. They would have posted bond. They would have been back home. Now they still would have been facing the involuntary manslaughter charges down the line at some point, but it's just hard to understand how somebody can figure that that's a good idea. By the way, Jason Crumbly's ex calls the father of Ethan. Ethan's a kid who shot up the school and killed all those people. Calls the dad, here's a quote, a piece of shit and a Trump-loving monster, end quote. Bob Dole died, as you know. Good man. I thought he was wrong, but he was a good man. And we're running out of guys like this, like from the Tip O'Neill era, where these guys would scratch each other's eyes out on the floor of Congress. And then when everything was over, they'd all go out drinking and laughing. And, you know, they knew the names of each other's kids and the wives were friends. And then they would go back out on the Senate floor the next day and fight again and do it all over again. All of that is gone. Bob Dole makes it all the way to 98. Bob Dole liked to talk in the third person. In addition to being a war hero and, you know, injured and everything, he was also really funny. I mean, he could have been one of those guys who would just walk around with a chip on his shoulder the rest of his life and pissed off because his body had been disfigured. And along comes Libby, and Libby's a knockout. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, well, this is all good. And then he retires from politics and starts selling Viagra. You got to have a sense of humor to be able to do that. Chris Cuomo, not as lucky. They hired a law firm over at CNN. They're like, we're not doing this. So they brought in an outside firm and they started investigating all this stuff. The internal probe, which unfortunately is probably what got him in trouble anyhow. Good morning, everybody. But he lied about his involvement in this whole thing. And now he's got some woman at ABC saying that she was on the receiving end of unwanted stuff, whatever that is. So now he's got his tit caught in the ringer too. Do we all understand that all of this talk over the weekend about this new strain of COVID, Omicron, which does sound like some sort of a science fiction thing, but, you know, 99.9% of the cases that America is dealing with right now is still the Delta variant. I think people, you know, because there's been so much talk about this new strain, I think that a lot of people are under the misconception that this is the new strain, the Omicron, and it's not. It's still Delta. In St. Louis County, we're averaging about 255 cases a day. That's a 9.5% increase from the previous week. We have, I mean, we're inching towards that 10% positivity rate. It's at 8.4 right now. 56% of St. Louis County residents fully vaccinated. 64% have received at least one dose, and that's not enough. So I don't know why anybody is surprised by all this. Maybe it's the end of the world after all. The Detroit Lions won their first game yesterday against Minnesota, 29-27. Their record now 1-10-1. There are people who are still arguing that the Detroit Lions, with that record of 1-10-1, still could make the playoffs in the NFL, and the New York Times says, no, that ain't happening. But let me just tell you something. The big game, and I'm going to say this again next week, too, because it's another huge game. Everything is about Buffalo right now. Buffalo and New England tonight, and that is in Buffalo, and the weather is supposed to be pretty crummy with a lot of wind. That's all I know. I can pretty much guarantee it. It'll be very, very windy down there in the South Towns, as we called them when I lived in Buffalo. So that's on ESPN tonight. But what a game. But then next weekend, you've got Buffalo and Tampa Bay. And Tampa and Tom Brady better play better next week than they did yesterday, or Buffalo will wipe the floor with them. But it'll be cold and windy in Buffalo tonight. And this is coming off this incredible weekend across the nation where it's December 6th. and it's like 75 degrees outside in places where there should be snow. And people who didn't know they were idiots for saying that were quickly told by people like the lovely Kristen Cornett in the Channel 4 meteorology department, who is one of the most adorable people I think I've ever met in this business. She's got that little tiny bit of a southern accent. I think she's from Lexington, Kentucky, if my memory serves me correctly. But I ran into her years ago at the Target at the Promenade. And I just walked up and introduced myself, and she was fairly new in town. And we just stood there by the front door of Target and talked for about 20 minutes. And she's just lovely. And she has such a comfortable demeanor on camera. I mean, there's people who have been doing television in St. Louis for years, and they don't have the sort of the relationship with the camera lens that Kristen Cornett, and she's a good scientist. She's a good meteorologist over there at Channel 4. And somebody was posting yesterday going, oh man, I'm loving this climate change. I'm loving it. And Kristen quickly commented, yeah, you're going to like the 120 degree summers too, where all of the corn and the wheat and the soybeans have all burned up in the fields and there's no food. The answer is no. You don't jump up and down and be happy about the fact that it's 75 degrees across the fruited plains when it should be snowing out, okay? It's a real, real, real bad double-edged sword. How about this Joel Osteen? Now, when I lived in Houston, his church, which was the old place where the Houston Rockets used to play, it was a sports arena. There's like 20,000 people. And these people just come marching in every week, just forking over their dough. And the media, by the way, gets out of the way. You know, they refer to him as Pastor Osteen, and they all smile on the set. And I'm sitting there going, what the fuck is this? What is this? You guys are supposed to be journalists, and you know damn well what's going on over there with the Osteens. The guy's driving a, $350,000 Lamborghini around. He's got a $14 million house, and now he's got money and checks stuffed in a wall behind the toilet of their bathroom. A lot of people referring to it as escape money, OJ money, if you will. In other words, when the hammer finally comes down and they are identified as charlatans and phonies, and they realize, somebody realizes, hey, they're getting away with murder, then the Osteens say, okay, fine, we can be in Mexico in about 4 or 5 hours. Honey, get the sledgehammer, knock out the fake wall behind the toilet, grab the $10,000 or whatever it is in cash, and let's get the hell out of here. Why would the televangelist have thousands of dollars, by the way, which was reported stolen, what was it, maybe 6-7 years ago? So they report this money is all stolen, but it's actually behind a fake wall behind their toilet in their bathroom. If they don't bust them for this, if this isn't finally the end of the Osteens, I'm sorry, I give up. Matt Gaetz hasn't been charged with anything yet. You're starting to wonder if that's ever going to happen. And now this Joel Osteen thing. If these two get away with this, I give up. Happy thoughts, JC. Happy thoughts. Okay, there's some really, really big movies coming out, as is the case every year. They wait for, you know, the Christmas season, because a lot of people spend a lot of time in the theaters. You have a little more time off. And all of these movies get in under the wire at Christmas time, because then they are all eligible for next year's Oscars. So these things all have to open up in either New York or LA, and then they go wide and everything like that. But you got a couple of really, really big movies coming out. Now, my pals, Carl the intern, who worked with us for years, and then also a name that you may not know, Lynn Venhouse. Lynn Venhouse used to write for, oh gosh, the Club Democrat, the St. Louis Sun, going all the way back to ancient history. Remember the St. Louis Film Critics Association, the Critics' Choice Awards people. She writes for the Belleville paper. She also writes for the Webster Kirkwood Times, pops up on radio, pops up on TV, and is a really, really good writer and a good observationist on all this stuff. And most importantly, for our purposes today, has seen both the Lucy movie and the Kurt Warner movie. And they invited me to be on their podcast last week, so that's running right now. If you want the link for that, it's on my Facebook page, the Showgram with J.C. Quirk, and you just go there, and it'll link you over to it. But here's a couple of clips involving two of the most anticipated movies in quite a while. You'll hear Carl in the background, you'll hear me, you'll hear our friend Lynn, and let's talk about Lucy first.
First of all, Aaron Sorkin's writing is absolutely brilliant.
That's great.
It has a lot to unpack. I think people are going to be so surprised about this movie, which opens December 10th in theaters, but will be on Amazon Prime December 21st. So more people will see it that way, because it is about Lucy being such a trailblazer in Hollywood. And very tough. It shows that. And also, when she was pregnant with Desi Arnaz Jr., they would not allow her to say the word pregnant in the episode. So
expecting
being the Ricardos takes place 1 week in Lucy and Desi's career, filming I Love Lucy. The meetings with the suits and the advertisers are quite revealing about old Hollywood. It goes back to her movie career. And then also the prejudice against Desi being from Cuba. Aaron Sorkin has taken three major facts of this week and presented it. It's the suits versus Lucy. It is Walter Winchell saying she's a communist, their crumbling marriage, Lucy and Desi. And then it's also about the whole pregnancy thing. Like when she goes, I'm pregnant. And oh my God, these guys, because they're all smoking. I Love Lucy had 60 million viewers in 1953.
Every week?
Yes, which they had to fight for. They had to fight for that birth episode. Because remember, they all had single beds and the
Dick Van Dyke, too.
Yeah. Yeah, the old Hollywood. I mean, it's such a brilliant script.
All right, so there you go, the Lucy movie, and that's going to be opening here in just a couple of days. And for a lot of people, the movie that they're all looking forward to opening on Christmas Day in St. Louis is American Underdog. In fact, Zach Levi, the guy who plays Kurt Warner in the movie, is going to be on with James Corden tonight. So you're going to see this whole machine ramp up now as they try to promote this movie. So we continued our conversation with Lynn Venhouse and Carl the intern, American Underdog.
The first thing you notice about the movie is it's very much as much a Brenda story as it is a Kurt story.
Right.
After I got done seeing it, I was so shocked that it was much better than I thought. And I had seen it with a couple of the high profile sports guys in town. And I said, they were giving their reaction to Pete Maniscalco, who we've mentioned, and they were all saying, I loved it. And then I said, isn't it better than you thought it was going to be? And they uniformly said, yes. That's the whole reaction from
everybody.
That's
not necessarily a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, but I think it's well done. Now, another thing is, it only goes to the Super Bowl victory, and then it wraps up. So
I was at that game, Carl, in the flesh, in person.
Sorry.
Sitting next to Maria Menounos from Entertainment Tonight, and she was 21 at the time. You're not supposed to wear garb for your favorite team. She was dressed head to toe in New England Patriots stuff, but she was Maria Menounos, and she was the best looking thing that was in that press box that day, so nobody complained. But here's the thing, when I was working for the Rams Radio Network for a number of years, when there were two stations that were carrying the Rams, and I was on both of them at various times, I got to know the Warners a little bit, especially Brenda. And all I will say about Brenda is that I think she's great. I would be scared to death to live in the same house with her, though. It is just time that more women are doing what she does, and that is saying, I'm not sitting in the background waiting for other people to do stuff. I'm going to get out there, I'm going to do it, and people are going to hate me, and that's fine. You know what? Because she's already been through so much hell. You know this, Lynn, because you saw the movie, and Carl, you know it because we've talked about the actual story about the parents being...
And I worked for the Rams for 10 years.
But the parents being killed by a tornado, and they were as destitute as you could imagine. You know, living in a basement, and the bedspread that they use to cover their bed at night was what they used as a tablecloth to eat, so they didn't have to eat off the floor. Right? They got no money. Nothing's going anywhere. She'd come out of the Marines. They're living in northern Iowa, and you know, what's your life going to be? And they pulled themselves out. I still remember talking. Mike Lupica is a longtime columnist for, well, in New York and all sorts of magazines and Sports Illustrated and everything. And Mike Lupica, back in 1998, we had him on the air, and I said, what do you think is the bigger story? Because we're sitting here in St. Louis, and we're so connected to it, and sometimes you can't really make a judgment. You have to have somebody from outside looking in. And I said, what's the bigger deal? This Mark McGwire home run chase. They were in the midst of that at the time, Sosa and McGwire. And is it that, or is it the Kurt Warner story? He goes, wow, it's not even close. It's not even close. Guys hit home runs all the time. This Kurt Warner story is the sports story of the century. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in terms of the acceptance of this film, with people already having that little asterisk in the back where they know that this is being made by these faith-based guys who don't exactly have a good track record of making movies that don't come off as heavy-handed or in some way just something where you want to go, oh, stop it already.
It's going to get the faith-based crowd because they don't care about going into the public with the pandemic, I guess, you know. And anyway, it's going to get them there. But also, they're not quoting the Bible in this movie. They are just showing their lives by example. I mean, they're not like doing any of that heavy-handed stuff that you think they might be doing, because their story really is about just overcoming adversity and believing in yourself and you're stocking shelves at a high V.
And not even a high V in a major metropolitan area. A high V on a little spot on the map in northern Iowa. Just think about that. You know, you're not overcoming just the fact that you're a stock boy. You're in the middle of nowhere on top of it.
Right. And you got to swallow your pride and you got to go to arena football, because yeah, arena football has offered you money and you don't want to take it because you don't want to play arena football. But you've got to you've got this family to take care of.
OK, so that's what we can tell you so far. Great job, Lynn Van House, Carl, the intern. And again, if you want to hear that whole thing, it goes on for 2 hours. As we cover a lot of stuff involving not just movies that are coming out, but if you're just into movies and entertainment, you got 2 hours to kill, or you're not happy with the podcasting that you have been exposed to so far, you can check that out. It's something to do. All right, let's talk George Clooney. He got an offer for $35 million for one day's work. It was an airline commercial, but it was for a country that engages in questionable practices. They won't say what country it is. His wife, of course, an international human rights attorney, he decided to pass. Sylvester Stallone, on Friday, as we were going into the weekend, raised the ire of a lot of people when he was photographed wearing a hat with a Q on it, and people like, oh shit, one too many shots to the head for Sly. He's into the QAnon thing. Well, now he says, hold it. For those incredibly inquisitive individuals, let me state unequivocally that the Q on this hat stands for Quantum of Solace, the name of the boat I was on, not anything else. Okay? End quote. Whew, that was close. Actual Christmas stuff. Michael Bublé does a good job. He's a good singer. He's got his Christmas special tonight on NBC. Late Night Tonight, Jonah Hill, who is going to play Jerry Garcia in a biopic about the Grateful Dead. He's on with Jimmy Fallon tonight, along with the incredibly unentertaining Tig Notaro. Jimmy Kimmel is dedicating his whole show tonight to this thing that's going to be going on tomorrow night, live in front of a studio audience, Different Strokes with John Lithgow, Kevin Hart, Damon Wayans, and then Jennifer Aniston and Gabrielle Union in The Facts of Life. So all of those people are going to be on with Jimmy Kimmel tonight. Does he know it's only an hour's show? Stephen Colbert has the lovely Jennifer Lawrence. As we said, Zach Levi, who plays Kurt Warner in American Underdog, on with James Corden tonight, Seth Meyers, Michael J. Fox, and Kimberly Williams Paisley. Kennedy Center honors year after year. Great show. It'll air December 22nd on CBS. They're dedicating the show to Lorne Michaels, Bette Midler, Berry Gordy, and Joni Mitchell. They got their awards over the weekend. The William Shatner trip into space. It's going to be a one-hour documentary called Shatner in Space. Amazon as well. You'll see that on December 15th. And hitting $10 million in sales. Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas is You. Sorry. All right, birthdays today. Judd Apatow, writer, director of, oh gosh, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, This Is 40. He directed Amy Schumer's Trainwreck movie, also produced the Anchorman movies, Talladega Nights, Superbad, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Get Him to the Greek, Pineapple Express, Step Brothers, Year One, Bridesmaids, HBO's Girls, and was one of the managing editors of the old Larry Sanders Show. Hey now, Judd Apatow, who's got it all, man, is 54. Johnny Manziel, 29. A lot of miles on that guy. Andrew Cuomo, 64. Stephen Wright, one of the funniest people on earth, 66. Tom Hulce, who was in Animal House, played Pinto, and also played Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart in the movie. He's 68 today. The great Roy Orbison died of a heart attack at the age of 52 on this date in 1988. And just one of the great pop songs ever from 1969, Na Na Hey Hey Kiss Him Goodbye by Steam, hit number one 52 years ago on this date, 1969. A couple of years back, Saturday Night Live used to do a bit called Appalachian ER. Yeah, Appalachian ER, where these people would come in one after another, hillbillies, explaining these bizarre injuries that they got and that you could probably only get if you were just buried in the hills somewhere. And then Chris Parnell, every episode, he would come in usually towards the end, and he would explain how something got stuck up his butt. And it was just hilarious. Well, some guy showed up at an ER in England with a huge anti-tank artillery shell from World War II. Stuck up his no-go hole. He claimed it was an accident. He said he found it while cleaning junk out of his house, put it on the floor, and fell on it butt first. Bullseye. And a 57-year-old guy in Florida got arrested last week. He was having a dispute with his neighbors about parking, and so he did the only logical thing he could to try to sort of calm things down. He brought a flamethrower out. Oh, boy. And this is National Microwave Oven Day. It's the holiday that always makes you feel warm on the outside, but just ice cold in the middle. And that's going to have to be it. I have to tell you how close we came today to not having a podcast. My system just totally locked up here today, so I had to use something completely different. I don't know what it sounds like, but it was very distracting, but we cranked something out. Something is better than nothing, I think. So we publish on days we can get to the internet at 7 o'clock Monday through Friday, absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything's archived right here at jconline.com. You can binge if you want. You can email me at jc@jconline.com. On Facebook, it's The Showgram with JC Corcoran. We talk a little bit about everything in politics only when it is absolutely unavoidable. So have yourself a great day. I got some crawling around to do on my hands and knees under this table here to try to see if I can figure out what my wire's doing. We'll get everything back up and running the way it's supposed to tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.